Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush. And on the line right now, we have Congressperson-elect Lauren Boebert from CD3. Lauren, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. How are you, Andy?
I'm doing wonderful. And Anil Mathai is with us as well. We're both big fans, right?
Hey, Anil. Awesome. Awesome to talk to you.
Lauren, I, you know what? By the way, you are the first woman ever elected to that position in CD3. Am I correct?
Yes, you are correct. I am the first woman elected to serve the people of Colorado's 3rd Congressional District. I'm the first mom. And, you know, we're seeing a theme in the 117th Congress with the freshmen who were elected. We have record number women who have won their seats. But interestingly, none of us ran on the platform of being a woman. We ran on conservative values and free market ideas and getting putting America first. None of us said, you know, I'm a woman, so you have to vote for me. That's kind of the Democrats play in those identity politics. But I am so proud of the freshman class that I am a part of and I get to serve with. American voters did a fantastic job of electing a GOP freshman class that actually looks like America.
Fantastic. By the way, though, I have to correct you. According to Harvard, this just came out yesterday, you are actually the first birthing person who has been elected that seat.
No, you know, I cringe at that. So these buzzwords that come out, I tried to tell some of my staff that this was a thing right now, this birther thing. And they were like, oh, no, this is talking about Obama and his birth certificates. And they said, no, they're saying that not all women can give birth, and not all, because they're saying not all women are naturally women, and they're giving them the title birther. And you know, I just reject that. Like, I'm a mom. I am a woman. I have 4 boys. I am raising my 4 boys to be men, to love America, and to serve their country.
Awesome.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, so you're saying that Anil and I cannot give birth? So
I don't want to give
birth. Way, you're kind of oppressing us, but that's okay. I mean, you've risen to power. And Lauren, before we get into the issues here, I got some good news and bad news for you, okay? The good news is your huge win in CD3. Congratulations. You are now, awesome. You have now been sent to Washington to represent us. Mm-hmm. But the bad news is you're going to have to run again in 2 years. And I know that you're probably thinking, my gosh, you've already gone to Washington once. You probably never want to go back again. But we Liberty voters here, we are very strict about these things. Actually, I'm a very nice guy. Anil is very strict. He's a hard guy. And so we expect you to go back. So how can people learn more about what you're doing in Washington and support your efforts starting now?
First and foremost, follow me on social media. My Twitter is constantly going all day long. I'm always running my mouth on there and getting in trouble with my team. So follow me on Twitter at Lauren Boebert. I also have a Facebook page, Lauren Boebert for Congress, and then my website, Lauren for Freedom, F-O-R, laurenforfreedom.com. That's where you can find out my policy platforms and what I intend to do in Congress. I'm so excited that I was sent to D.C. by the people. I was actually talking to someone earlier today and saying how empowering that is to know that I didn't work my way up the ladder and get some sort of political blessing to enter into this campaign and run for this office. The people sent me here. And so I'm just so empowered by that, so honored and humbled, and it keeps in mind who I work for.
Yeah, as long as you're there in Washington, do us a favor. Remind them there that there are people back here. Okay, we matter too. Okay, hey, tell you what, you are objecting to certifying Joe Biden's electoral win. And
awesome, awesome.
Yeah, by the way to go. The Denver Post had an article on it last week. I don't know if you saw it. It was a scathing hit piece filled with Democrat talking points. And I noticed the Post never allowed you to give your reasons for objecting. You see, Lauren, we aren't the Post here. We actually like the news. So could you give us your reasons for objecting to certifying Joe Biden's electoral win?
Sure. And, of course, we're all hearing the buzzwords from Democrats right now about anyone who is proposing to object to the Electoral College results on January 6th. and they're throwing words out like sedition. Really, that's what we've heard for four years from them. Right, exactly. That's all we've heard is seditious acts. And you know, it's really funny that that's their buzzword that they've all clung onto. But I announced that I would be adjusting to the Electoral College results on January 6th because I believe it is my responsibility as a member of Congress to object. The very first line of that oath that I take when I get sworn in as a representative is to swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Amen.
Period.
Amen.
There is a constant. I'm not pledging an oath to a party or an idea. I'm pledging an oath to the Constitution of the United States. And there's a constitutional provision for members of Congress to object if they believe that the results are unconstitutional. And I believe the way certain states behaved during the presidential election were absolutely unconstitutional. I don't believe that that's unreasonable to think of. If you look at states where their constitution requires the legislature to be in charge of how elections are conducted and the legislature says there needs to be signature verification, then there needs to be signature verification. The executive or even the judicial branch, they don't get to override the Constitution regardless of the circumstances. So for me, it's really that simple. It's a matter of my sworn obligation to support the Constitution. This isn't a conspiracy. This isn't a ploy or two. It's actually standing up for the Constitution. So I'm going to strongly object to the Electoral College certification on January 6th.
So basically, you're a conspiracy nut in a militia somewhere in the woods, right? No, yeah, look, I think you're making total sense here. And the reason is, Lauren, I'm really in the numbers, okay? There were 19 bellwether counties that have predicted the presidency the last 20 years in a row. I mean, they've nailed every single election, and these are purple counties. Trump won 18 of the 19 by an average of well over 10%. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you have in four cities votes pouring in the middle of the night, going like 95, 98% for Joe Biden. Mm. I mean, how can we not look at that? Okay. Mm-hmm. How can we not look at those two things and be suspicious and at least say, hey, all we're asking here that we want the evidence brought into the courts and yet we're being stopped at all the courts. Nobody wants the evidence actually produced.
Yes, you know, I'm so happy that you said that. And even I look at this stuff each and every day, and still hearing you say it, it just infuriates me. But the thing is, with me being a representative elect, I will be sworn in January 3rd. I am in the legislative branch. I am not in the judicial branch. And so the courts can do what the courts are going to do. They can deny to hear these cases, whatever. That's not my role. My role takes place on January 6th, and that's where I will do my part to uphold the Constitution. And, you know, I love that you're bringing up these bellwether counties and the numbers that are coming out of that. How many times have we heard from Democrats, follow the science? How about we start following the math in this contested election and all of these irregularities? Let's follow the math.
Well, let me ask you this. Is this just a Trump support thing, or would you do this anytime you see such massive problems? Either way.
These problems are so extreme. It does not matter where they came from. It absolutely needs to be brought to light and at least discussed. At least let's look at the evidence and bring it out and have an open and honest conversation about it rather than just having mainstream media preface any and every statement with something like unfounded claims or this was disproved. You know, they just want to debunk it immediately. And so I think if we can just have open and honest discussions, I mean, this is our republic is absolutely at stake here. Ensuring the integrity of elections that take place in America is essential to our republic. And this conversation needs to be taking place. I have Democrats mailing me, messaging me, telling me, thank you for taking a stand. I voted for Joe Biden, and I don't like what I'm seeing.
Does it trouble you that Joe Biden doesn't want the evidence brought forth in court, that he doesn't want, you know, the tape review like of what happened in Atlanta with the, you know, suitcases full of votes that were brought in after the fact, after people were excused?
I don't even know if I don't even know if Joe Biden knows about this stuff. I mean, it's hard to know what information they allow him.
Not entirely to be Ascension aware of being at times.
Right. But, you know, I mean, maybe he's not even going to be essential here pretty soon in their eyes. But I think anyone who is trying to suppress this information after we were just taking down this witch hunt with millions of taxpayer dollars spent against a Russia collusion hoax, we should absolutely look at this, what's happening right here in America domestically. And we have to have open and free and fair elections here in America. They can argue all that they want and try to make this something that it isn't. Just because a court rejects a legal maneuver doesn't mean my separate but equal responsibility to object disappears. So that's why I am taking a stand for this. For my objection to go away, they would need to demonstrate that a state's legislature was okay with skipping signature verifications. And I'm not aware that any have done that. We are a country of laws. But we seem too quick to say, oh, just get the signature part. No, that is the most important part.
Oh, especially since we're not even requiring ID. So if you don't require ID and you don't require a signature verification, anyone can cast the vote. It's ludicrous. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. Folks, we're speaking with Lauren Boebert, congressperson from CD3. Anil, you have a question for her.
Well, I just want to say, Lauren, thank you so much. I mean, your Twitter posts are amazing, Facebook, everything. You are the same as you were when you ran in the primary. Keep speaking that. No matter what anybody, your staff or Washington says, keep speaking the truth because the people hear it. Keep fighting. You're giving a lot of encouragement to people who are discouraged right now with the corruption before us. So thank God for this, and thank you for doing what you're going to do on January 6th, and keep fighting for us, and keep fighting for the truth. That's the greatest thing, and you're just an encouragement. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. That means a lot to me. And, you know, I'm absolutely going there to fight and be a voice for the people here in Colorado and beyond. I am fine taking a stand for Americans all across this country. I was just on a Zoom meeting last night with board members from the Farm Bureau here in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing to me that the one thing that I kept hearing over and over again was, we are so happy to have a fighter who will actually be our voice. And that's what people want right now. President Trump has really pioneered the way for fighters to run an office, the non-politician to step up and do their part to serve their country. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm not a politician. I was fed up with politicians. I was fed up with them getting to D.C., forgetting who they worked for, overregulating, overtaxing, overspending, and destroying everything we're building at home.
What do you think of the stimulus bill?
So I would have fought to send President Trump a better bill. I mean, this is all it's out of control at this point. I've said so much up until this point. Now we have McConnell doing his thing in the Senate, and I think it's time that we focus back on the small business owners who are being utterly destroyed. We need targeted relief. There are so many people who have federal jobs who have not been affected financially by this pandemic, and they're going to get a stimulus check. They get a bonus this year. And there are families who are really struggling to get by, business owners who have shut their doors forever, business owners who are wondering how they're going to pay their employees at the end of the week. And, you know, it's been politicized, and the American people have been jerked around so much. I would like to say enough with this. The best stimulus package is to reopen America. Let us live our lives again.
Absolutely. I mean, if they would just do that, we wouldn't have to worry about all this. We're going to be talking a little bit in the next hour about South Dakota again, where they've basically done that. Their unemployment rate there is 3.5%. So it works, people. Listen to Lauren Boebert. Okay, really quick, what do you think of the support or opposition to the increase in checks from 600 to 2,000?
Well, you know, I mean, there are people, like I said, who really need help. But then there are millions of people who have been unaffected, or at least hundreds of thousands of people who have been unaffected financially by this pandemic this year. They have jobs where federal jobs where they're taken care of. They haven't missed a paycheck. And now, you know, they're getting this $2,000 check. So I don't know. Here you go, America. Here's the socialism that you wanted. We are redistributing the money that the government stole from you in the first place. So Merry Christmas. There's that. But, you know, it's funny how the American people do get crumbs in compared to these other countries when you have $10 million going to Pakistan for gender studies. And it's no surprise that all of this was put into one vote, that this was all voted on at the same time. I believe that was by design. It was on purpose. And there should have just been something that was a single bill to vote on. We never saw that. The whole thing is a mess. This whole year has been a mess. I think we have proven that the most dangerous sentence in the American vocabulary is, "I'm from the federal government and I'm here to help," because government ruins nearly everything. Yep. And that's a plug for my good friend Laura Carno and her book.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. We love Laura Carno here. But, you know, I'm upset to hear that you are against birthing people in, you know, Pakistan. This is something, it's a big issue, but we just don't have time to tackle it today. Hey, you've been fighting for, I know. You've been fighting for the right to carry a firearm on Capitol Hill. Why, Lauren, why do you think you need to carry in such a safe, crime-free place like D.C.? I mean, that is such a beautiful place.
Have you been to D.C.?
yeah, but I'm lying. Go ahead. Why would you like to carry them?
So as you mentioned, I am a small-statured woman. I am 5'0", 100 pounds, and I need an equalizer against a potential stronger aggressor. And a firearm is my equalizer. I started carrying my firearm more than 7 years ago in my restaurant in Rifle, Colorado. There was a man who was brutally beaten outside of my restaurant, and he lost his life that night. I immediately needed a way to protect myself and to protect the people around me. I have young women working for me. We are there alone a lot at night, early in the morning, and I wanted to make sure that we had proper protection. And so I took advantage of Colorado's open carry laws. I have been strongly advocating for our Second Amendment rights ever since. And even my waitresses open carry in the restaurant. And Shooter's Grill has been called the safest restaurant in America. And of course, now that I'm going to Washington, D.C., I am wanting to bring my Second Amendment rights with me. I want to be able to protect myself, to defend myself. Just like most Democrat-run cities, Washington, D.C. has a violent crime problem. Their violent crime rate is 158% times higher than the national average. And I don't know what people think that the life of a United States congressman looks like, but I can tell you right now, I don't go to work every day in an armored car. I do not have Capitol Hill police escorts with me everywhere I go. I will be walking from my D.C. home to the Capitol each and every day that I'm working there and then walking back home. I am my security, and I need a way to protect myself. So I am fighting to have that right there in Congress. Right now, it currently is allowed. But we have some Democrats, 21 radical anti-Second Amendment Democrats, who have sent a letter to the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, and they want to turn Congress into a gun-free zone, even for representatives.
Oh, so it can be a safe gun-free zone like Baltimore. That's great! Hey! Okay, let's move on here. I agree with you 100%. I think it's ludicrous. I think you people, your public figures, you are targets. Okay, you need to be able to defend yourself. It's ludicrous. Okay, mm-hmm. Lauren, let's look at the Republican Party. According to Rasmussen, this just came out, 3 out of 4 GOP supporters want the party to look more like Trump going forward. But there are those who resist this, and they want to return to the party before Trump. What do you think?
President Trump has changed the Republican Party forevermore. The Republican Party can never look the same again, nor does anyone want it to. President Trump has brought to light this fighting spirit for the American people, and gone are the days of the old Republican Party. We haven't seen a fighter like this since President Ronald Reagan, who actually puts the people first. And I never want to see the Republican Party go back to the days of President Bush, per se. And President Trump is it. He has absolutely changed the party, and I'm with those 3 out of 4 GOP members that say that they want to keep this momentum alive. I'm here because of the MAGA agenda, and I will fight every day to make sure that the MAGA agenda continues.
Lauren, I'm with you 100%. I think the difference here is President Trump and President Reagan, what they did was they actually followed our platform, our conservative platform, and fought for mm-hmm. it. No one would believe what President Trump would have done, and he did it amazingly with justices and with so many different bills. So he's actually instituted our rock-solid conservative platform, our Constitution above all, and you're exactly right. That's what people want, is back to conservative, true conservative leadership with principles first, party second, third, fourth, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I even noticed, for instance, here in Colorado, when candidates run as conservatives, when they run on a true conservative platform, they win.
Yes.
When these once those candidates are sworn into office and are the elected officials, if they keep those conservative values, the people win.
Yes.
You see, Lauren, conservative values, I wrap them up in one phrase. I want to control my own life, not yours. And whenever I see Republicans run on that or something like it, right, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I want to control my own life, not yours, they win.
Yes.
But if they don't run on that, if they do all this mushy stuff, then people, they don't define themselves and people can't get behind that. Okay, really quick here. You just talked about what Trump has done for the GOP. What does Lauren Boebert plan to do for the GOP and America in the next 2 years?
Just like I said, I'm here because of the MAGA agenda. I'm here to put America first and the American people first. Just like that Zoom meeting I had with the board members of the Farm Bureau here in Colorado, I am the people's voice. And so I am connecting with them. I'm hearing from them on a regular basis. And I am taking what matters most to them, and I am representing the issues that matter most to them in Washington, D.C., and giving them a fighting chance again. We are so often drowned out by Denver and Boulder liberals here in the western slope of Colorado, and it's time that the people here had a voice again. And so that's the first thing that I'm doing. I want to reopen America. I want to get our economy going. Energy is a huge priority of mine. Here in the western slope, I think that we are the seventh largest natural gas producer in the United States. And we have the Jordan Cove pipeline that we can export our clean liquefied natural gas globally and create international markets, bring those high paying jobs back to Colorado using America's resources, continue America's energy independence and pursue energy dominance. I'm here to take care of my district and our resources, our ag needs, our forest management needs. And I'm also here to take on this fight against these radical socialists who want to completely, fundamentally change and transform America, everything that we know and love about the greatest country this world has ever seen. I'm here to keep American exceptionalism alive and the American dream alive for generations to come.
Excellent. Okay, hey, because heartless people like Anil are going to force you to run again in 2 years, take 10 seconds. How do people reach you?
LaurenForFreedom.com is my website. And I started campaigning again November 4th, 2020. So I need all those small dollar donations coming in to show your support.
Okay.
I read the emails that come in. LaurenForColorado.com. Thanks, everyone.
Fantastic. Lauren Boebert, thanks for joining us. We'll have you back. Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.